This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Scott Watley, and we appreciate you being with us. Be sure and check out our website, haystackhelp.com. There you'll find a lot of great companies to do business with. We've got a help box right there on our homepage. You can send us any questions or problems through there. And then our helpline is always open, 303-333-HELP. 303-333-4357. You can also join us on our Facebook Live for this broadcast. So go to Haystack Help Radio on Facebook and join us there. Well, it's the Legal Hour with our good friend Kevin Flesch. Kevin, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, Scott.
So you guys had a good trip to South Africa.
We did have a fantastic trip to South Africa. I would definitely recommend anyone that has the ability to go now as soon as you can, because it's fantastic. Because then you'll want to go again.
Exactly.
Yeah, as you know.
You could see why.
You're a regular customer there. So, yes, we had it's just unbelievable. It's really cool to see all the animals in their natural environment. And then just South Africa is just a really neat country in the sense of historically in our lifetime, apartheid has left and they're going through all sort of interesting times with regard to their politics. As much as we think ours is screwed up, it's equally screwed up there, I think, and just the natural environment is incredible.
Right, and you're over there with your whole family, yep. So we want to let everybody know, hey, it is safe over there.
It is.
We're going to be talking about this on a future show with Kevin, whether Sportsman of Colorado show, but I think there's issues in every country, just like there are ours. But it is safe. You guys never felt in danger or whatever.
No, we didn't at all. And in fact, we talked a little bit with our guides throughout the trip about certain areas that we're going to. You certainly go by areas that I wouldn't want to be.
Yeah, you don't want to be out just
walking around. The shanty towns and that sort of thing that they have there are really pretty incredible to see. Just to see what people are willing to do and to live to get, I guess, to the country and coming from somewhere else and
sure.
and the issues that they're having. But that's sort of segmented from the rest of the regular. I mean, we were in a mall in Cape Town, and it wasn't any different than the Cherry Creek Mall here.
Right.
It did not feel at all different. And so there are differences, obviously, but there are certainly we didn't have any concerns about that.
Yep. Also, Dan Muir is in studio with us. Dan's a co-host of Rush to Reason, which you can hear 3 to 6 every day. So, Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good, good. We figured you needed legal help, so I asked you if you wanted to sit in.
Yeah. Makes sense. I give him some advice on the breaks.
Exactly, yeah. So let's talk a little bit. We're going to talk about some personal injury things today and, dangers of representing yourself with an auto accident claim. And really, I'll just say anything in the legal world. I don't want to be that guy representing myself. I wanted to talk a little bit about this shooting that recently happened with YouTube and all. And we were kind of talking before the show came up, and Dan asked the question about, those of us that have a concealed carry permit and you go to a place, whether it be a movie theater or someplace that says, no guns allowed or guns are banned, whatever.
No gun zones.
If we choose to go ahead and carry our gun in that establishment, and what would be the ramifications of that if someone saw it on you or reported
right.
you, anything
so,
like that?
Yeah, so the concealed carry permit statute in Colorado talks about those private entities being allowed to say they didn't want you concealed carry on the premises. So we run into the issue of private landowners' rights of limiting access in the sense of concealed carry. So if you do conceal carry on the premises, and that particular landowner has notified you that they don't want you to do that, theoretically you could be charged with trespassing because you're doing something within the private landowner's premises that they're not authorizing. Now, the real question, of course, is let's say you are concealed, because normally the only way you really learn about the concealed carry, unless you're really perceptive, I mean, most people you conceal carry and you can't tell.
Right.
That's the whole point. Because then it's open carry otherwise. but I suppose you could sort of see the outline of a gun or something like that. And so normally people don't know until you actually have to use the weapon. And then the question is if you've saved lives and you've done something to help people, then the real question is, what political district attorney or city attorney in the area is going to charge you with a crime after you've helped out? And I doubt that that's a very high possibility, but I suppose you could lose your concealed carry permit.
And that is my question. Is that where it would have to come from? Would it have to? Would charges have to be brought up by a district attorney?
Yeah, that's the only place. Now, I guess you could have, I mean, when you start talking, for instances, with a lawyer, I can come up with fact patterns where, let's say you pull your weapon and you shoot somebody by mistake, right? That could happen. I mean, we've seen that discussion about these situations where we had it up at the Walmart up in Westminster, where there were other people in the Walmart that had weapons, right, when the shooter occurred there. And the police weren't sure exactly who the good guy was and the bad guy. So I suppose it's possible that you would make a mistake and shoot the wrong person, or you would do something to cause damage. Then there's an issue that you've not only violated trespass, but now you've discharged the weapon in an improper way. Mm-hmm. So you'd have a civil case in that case. You'd actually have what's called a negligence per se case. So if they could prove that you violated the trespass statute, and by doing that you created harm, they would have a claim. But otherwise, if that sort of situation doesn't happen, then it's just a prosecution by a district attorney or a city attorney for the trespass.
Because you never know. I mean, you picture yourself, let's say, in a Walmart, and, you know, you hear a gunfire, you go around a corner, there's a guy dressed like any of us today with a gun. He could be an undercover cop. He could be undercover security in the store.
Yep.
Or he could be the bad guy.
Right.
Or he could be another good guy like you stopping the bad guy.
Exactly. Right. So you have four different choices right there we just thought of. So
yeah.
And you got to figure that out. This is why cops, you know, get my respect, because they got to figure that out in a few seconds. And, man, that's scary.
Well, and that's why we always talk about, I always talk about, when we're talking about concealed carry, the bottom line is it's easy to get the thing, right? We can all go out and get the permit and carry. The real trouble is the continual training that you need to have so that you have muscle memory and you have the ability to recognize, you know, and do you shoot or do you wait? What do? You know, because that is a life and death situation.
And guys, that's why in the limited training I've had, that's the last thing you want to do.
Well, see, in your situation, you and I have shot clay pigeons together and skeet.
Right.
I know if you shot, you would have missed the person anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, Dan, you need to conceal a 12 gauge to hit anything.
That's why I wear long trench coats.
So,
and I also sell watches.
But it is a point. I mean, that's what, whenever people ask me whether I carry or not, I say, you know, I don't, because of the reason that I haven't had enough training, in my estimation, to get myself in those. And this isn't training where you go out into a big field and you're shooting things. It's, you know, it's very confined spaces. It's the training relating to figuring out the good guy, bad guy, and that sort of thing. And that takes a lot of time. Yep. And you have to be serious about it.
Sure.
And your example with the other, the question is, have you already pulled your weapon in that situation, or are you just looking around to figure out? Because once you pull your weapon, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, you're involved.
Yeah. You're a suspect.
And things are going to change if you even discharge it, don't discharge it, whatever. Your life's going to change from that moment on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, that's exactly right. And I was really surprised. I think YouTube, we were talking about the YouTube shooter, I was surprised that she brought a weapon in that area, because it was a gun-free zone. Mm-hmm. And so I was very, very surprised that she would break that law.
You mean that the sign wouldn't stop her?
Yeah. Yeah, I was really surprised, because she seemed... She was upset with YouTube, but, I mean, you know, you'd think that sign would stop someone.
Or most of the...
You're saying this so sarcastically. Everybody should see the smile on Kevin's face right now.
Are most of the gun deals that you get in, most of those are that where they're in their car and they get stopped and they've either told the officer they had a gun or didn't tell? We've talked about that before. You don't want to be volunteering a lot of information.
Right.
At what point... If he asks you, the officer, if you got a gun in your car?
Yeah, so what I always tell people is don't answer a question that's not asked. So don't tell an officer about a gun in the car until they ask you. Generally speaking, the ones that I see with regard to weapons is normally a report of shots fired, and so then the police know that there's guns around, or where it's a DUI sort of stop, and they just are asking because they're going to be towing the vehicle, is there anything else in the vehicle? And so then you have to respond relating to that. But if it's a regular traffic stop, my suggestion is not to give that information out at all. Certainly make sure that the officer is comfortable with what you're doing and that they feel safe. I mean, you don't want to be, you know, have the handgun out when they come up to the door of the car.
Right.
But I got stopped a couple of months ago, and I had a handgun and a rifle and a shotgun in the back seat of my car. And the officer didn't say anything to me. Right. She's walking up. I've got my hands on the steering wheel. I'm like, oh, that's right. I got these guns in the back because I was actually moving them for a friend of mine who was out of town to make sure that there wasn't any issues. And she saw them. I mean, she put a light back. I mean, I don't have a big car.
Right.
So, I mean, they're in the back, and she said nothing to me. And she gave me my ticket, and then she left. Yeah. So
I love the little folder that you brought to us.
Yeah.
And I gave away some to some clients yesterday in here. And because the more organized you are with that paperwork, and when a policeman comes up and you just reach up there and your
right.
documents are right there,
yep.
I think that's going to help your chances, too, of just looking.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, last time I got pulled over, I just handed them the whole folder.
Right.
With your name on it and everything.
Yeah. Here, call my attorney.
Even better. Yeah. Yeah. He's available. I like that. I mean, yeah. And it definitely helps, and I see this all the time with the driving under the influence. It's especially helpful in those situations because that's one of the things that the officers are trained to recognize because everybody's fumbling around trying to find the stuff if they don't have it all in one place.
Yeah.
And that's part of, oh, you're fumbling around because you're impaired, you know, even though when you're not. Because you're nervous because there's a police officer standing over you. But.
Right. Real quick, just in this segment on the whole gun thing, you know, recently they had some walkouts with the schools and everything. You're a father.
Yeah.
You've got daughters in school.
Yeah.
What were some of the conversations you guys had about
that? It was really interesting because my older daughter is very much a liberal against her dad, I think, for the most part. And so she was interested in, she's just interested in walking out to walk out is sort of the, you know, stick it to the man sort of thing. Or woman. But my younger kids, the twins, they stayed in their classroom. Mm. But what they all found interesting is that it was supposed to be 17 minutes for, the victims at Parkland. And it turned into something completely different.
Yeah.
And that's what, actually, my older daughter was a little disappointed that there wasn't the actual silence that she was expecting. I mean, she expected people to walk out and sort of give some tribute to the victims, and there wasn't that at all, which I think gave them some enlightenment about what it really was about. And so it was just trying to activate, you know, and get a good sound bite and to get a good, some good video of kids walking out of high schools.
Right.
And so it was an interesting discussion, though, because we went to when the Women's March was right after Trump was elected. I've got three daughters. So my wife and I and my kids went down and went to that. And that, again, was a very interesting experience because it's fun in those situations, in my opinion, to try to have a discussion with your kids while you're there and say, well, you think it's about this. And then you look around and it's not about it at all what really seems to be going on. And without having to give them any of your opinion, they're all smart kids. They can sure. come to their own conclusion about it. And I think it's really helpful for them. I think that those sorts of events help them understand that things aren't as always it's presented in the media and that they need to be critical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went to the Occupy Denver March a few years back.
Yeah.
And you had all these, college kids complaining, about how their student loans and how, take it to the man, the 1% and all that. Finally, my oldest son just looked at one and said, why don't you just get a job?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, we're done here. That's all I needed to do. Right.
And it is interesting, I mean, because you get, it's just a sort of a crystallization of all of what was going on relating to that. And you don't, because I'm always the one in the household that's sort of saying, well, you need the whole story. I mean, you're getting this story at school or you're getting this in the media, but maybe you need to look at this aspect of what's really going on. And a lot of times it's like, oh yeah, Dad. I mean, you're once again, you're trying to come from this other side and you're the old white guy in the room, and to some degree it's probably true, but at sure. the same time, it's also beneficial for them to come to their own conclusions. And those events are the ones that they can do that.
Yeah.
And it's not anything that, and I don't think they would come to it without being there and seeing it.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. It's the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesch. If you've got any kind of legal questions, we'll open up the phone lines. And Kevin will be glad to answer your questions, 303-477-5600. We got to take our first break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Affordable Interest Mortgage. has been your personal mortgage broker serving Coloradans since 2001. Take aim. If you're tired of being forgotten, disrespected, and not listened to when applying for a mortgage, or do you feel like you just talk to a call center and you never get the same person twice? Take aim. 720-895-0500. Our rates are still great, with loans designed to fit what you want, not the bank. Experienced professional loan officers to expedite the process and close quickly. We offer paperless applications, or we will come to you. View your loan status 24/7 and get rid of high-cost mortgage insurance or credit card debt to save hundreds now. Take aim, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients are saving thousands in excess mortgage payments, owning their home faster, all without changing their spending habits. Call now to start saving big. 720-895-0500. Talk with the same loan officer from start to finish, where it is all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is proud of their 45 years of HVAC service to Littleton, Highlands Ranch, and Denver metro area. Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is your Lennox and Carrier expert heating and air conditioning contractor. They are proud to offer the finest heating, air conditioning, and indoor air quality products with prompt and professional customer service and satisfaction. Call today and mention Haystack Help Radio and save $25 off any repairs or $100 off your furnace installation. Call 303-798-3880. That's 303-798-3880 for your appointment today. Littleton Heating and Air, A-plus members of the Better Business Bureau and official Haystack Help registered company.
Ladies, I know you're tired of walking into the local gun store and seeing the same old thing. So let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. Just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe and Sedalia, you will find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. And if you or your spouse love to hunt, Rampart Firearms is a great stop for all of your hunting needs. Shotguns, rifles, pistols, anything from predator hunting to your next big game trip. Head to Rampart Firearms at the foot of the Rockies. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you will only pay a 4% tax on your purchase. RampartFirearms.com, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
We are back. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Watley. It's the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh, Dan Muir in studio with us. Cassie's running our Facebook Live page on Haystack Help Radio on Facebook. Of course, Kevin Flesh is with us. So, Kevin, let's talk a little bit about representing yourself. And while we focus a lot on the accident side of this, man, like I said, it really comes in any legal fashion. Most of us don't try to do the medical side to ourselves. We go see a professional doctor. So, here, ramifications can be pretty great trying to represent yourself.
Can I just interject here a second? I tried to do this twice. And it was just traffic violations. The most intimidating thing I've ever done twice. And I swear I'll never do it again. And in either case, it really didn't work out well. Because I didn't know how to negotiate. I didn't know what my rights were. I didn't know what I could actually do.
Well, the other problem is, yeah, if you don't do it on a regular basis, you don't really know what you have to do. Right. And you don't really understand where you can go, especially traffic. You don't know. I mean, there's times where I do it on a regular basis and a rule changes where I get sideways with a judge or a prosecutor and I'm in the courtroom all the time, you know, and I can figure it out. But if you don't do it on a regular basis
and you can probably tell pretty quick if you're coming up against an attorney after he speaks for 2 or 3 minutes.
Right.
He's handling a case for somebody. Maybe he's a family lawyer, but he's handling a DUI case. You can go like, that guy's got, or lady's got no clue what they're doing.
And the judges are the same way. In fact, the felony cases that we handle, I had this happen about 2 months ago. We're in a courtroom, and the lawyer that was in front of me, the judge recognized she had no idea what she was doing, and it was a felony matter. And she basically looked at her client and said, you need to get a lawyer that understands felony law, because the lawyer that you have now doesn't. And that doesn't happen very often. But if you get lawyers that don't understand, then there's an example of where you don't want to be. And it normally doesn't happen in those sorts of things. We normally see it happen in civil cases where people are trying to represent themselves.
Right.
I mean, I've got a couple of cases right now where people didn't have insurance We've sued them. They're trying to handle it themselves. They just don't know what they're doing. And last week in the one case, the person didn't file the appropriate disclosures that they needed to. The judge gave them 10 days to do that. It was yesterday when they were supposed to file the documents. They didn't. The judge said in his order, if you don't do this, I'm striking any witness that you may have for trial. So he's basically given me a default judgment against him at this point because they're not going to get anywhere. And yeah, and it's one of those things where, I mean, I've got a $25,000 or $30,000 judgment that now I'll chase them for. And if they would have just gone and gotten some competent help that may have been able to help them, we may have been able to resolve it in a different way. And right. So, you know, people, what I see people do with pro se, you know, the only court that really pro se, individuals who are representing themselves in Colorado make the most sense is small claims. But even then, when you get a lawyer that comes in, then you're behind the eight ball on what you can do and can't do, and the rules change. And so, you know, and if you're in county court or district, especially district court, the procedures are so complicated that people that don't do it, lawyers that don't do it on a regular basis, you know, shouldn't be practicing there. Mm-hmm. So the idea is, as you said to begin with, it is a complicated thing. And I'm not trying to suggest that, that it's all about the money and you know, the fact that you need a lawyer. But, I mean, it's just like anything else. It's plumbing, car repair, you know, anything. The people have jobs that they do, and they need to help you through that. And that's what you want. If you have a significant issue and you're in court over it, you're going to want to have a professional helping you.
Sure. Now, when we talk about some of the reasons, I mean, I look at just, you know, terminology that maybe the insurance is going to come to you. I look at the medical side of the way it's billed, the documentation, medical side. There's no way I'm going to know how to instruct my doctor
right.
if he doesn't do this a lot.
Yeah.
How to even document stuff and get the terminology.
Absolutely. I mean, we see that all the time. And people, the personal injury litigation that we do is complicated because of exactly what you just talked about. You've got professionals that are dealing with insurance. So there's issues relating to coverages and what you do there and what things are available and what things can be provided for under a policy. And then you've got the issues of how you prove all these things up. But before then, you've got the specialty of medical that you want to make sure you get the best treatment possible and that it's documented and how it interrelates then with the legal process. And so all of that, all of those specialties have to meld together to get you the most money. And most people... I mean, I'm representing a claim rep right now for an insurance company, and she does these cases on a regular basis on paying out claims.
Right.
She's having me represent her because she recognizes she's gotten, well, I've helped her through a little bit of it, like we've talked about before, mm-hmm. because she was able to get the policy limits on one part of her case, but then the rest of it, she's like, I can't handle the rest of this, and so she's retained us to help her with the rest of the case. And those are the sorts of things that the free consultation and the regular discussions with people we're willing to do, because like we always say, I want to add value. I want to make sure that you get the most money in your pocket,
right?
And we do the best for the client. And sometimes that's, we'll go out and take care of this and see if you can get it done on your own. If you think you're sophisticated enough to do that. And if you are, and some people are, then you're going to save yourself some money. But if you're not, and you have no idea what you're doing, that's where you want to have a lawyer right away.
Sure.
And because you end up paying more in the end. I get the frustrating calls that I get are, oh yeah, I handled this up through trial and it went sideways on me, like Dan's talking about. And
well,
now
is not your work then three times as hard
it is.
Once it's gone that
and
far?
Not only that, but the appeal process is more expensive, more cumbersome, and the likelihood of overcoming that appeal of what happened in the trial court is generally really hard. I mean, it's your percentages are less than 30% that you're going to get that thing overturned, whatever it is, unless it's a complete slam dunk. But most of the time, it's really hard and really expensive, a lot more expensive than it would have been just to begin with.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, when I talk to people about it, and again, going back to the money side of it, well, I just hate to pay that fee. And I don't know if there are stats to prove this, but I personally feel this by having an attorney. In most cases, whatever percentage you want to put with that, you're going to get more money as a client by having legal representation.
Yeah, I would say that it's probably in the 85 to 90 percentile range that you're going to get more money. I mean, I had a case yesterday that I settled for a woman that she had tried to resolve it on her own. They denied liability. We had to file suit. We had to go through discovery. We finally got her. But they hadn't offered a dollar up until yesterday for our mediation, and then they finally offered $30,000. You know, there's an example of where we definitely helped her, and it was definitely a claim that was going to be tough at trial. At the same time, they recognized that there was some risk, and she wouldn't have gotten any money representing herself because they would have bullied her around. They would have said, you're not going to be able to figure out how to pick a jury. You're not going to be able to figure out how to present evidence, and they were probably right.
Chaos, is that the same thing in traffic court?
Yeah.
When you show up on your own, they know they've got you.
Yeah, they do. I mean, to some degree. I mean, it's a little bit different in traffic court, most traffic court, because like in Denver, the police officer is actually prosecuting the case themselves. But then in Arapahoe and Douglas County and Adams County, they have county attorneys that'll handle it. And they do it all day long, and they know what the judge is comfortable with doing, and they know the officers. And so you come in and you have no idea how the court works or how they work. You're at such a disadvantage. I mean, because let's face it, you're in front of a court that may see the same police officers on a regular basis. And the likelihood that the judge thinks that the particular police officer is incredible as a matter of law and just doesn't believe him, pretty, pretty slim. Right. And you know, especially in the traffic, you know, speeding, careless, those sorts of things. Yeah.
So were you going to try to get the fine reduced, the points reduced, a combination of both? Or
yeah, well, a combination of both. The one in particular that really just gnaws at me is the tailgating charge I got in Denver. Rush hour traffic basically stopped bumper to bumper. I get pulled over for tailgating.
Interesting.
I mean, it was like a sting because they knew everybody was stopped.
Right.
And I was basically parked behind a commercial vehicle. He pulls me over. He says, "You're tailgating a commercial vehicle. Here's your ticket."
Yep.
And what do you do when you're going 5 miles an hour?
Yeah, you can't do much. And it's been interesting, too, the trials that I've had with multiple car accidents like that in Denver now. Juries aren't immediately saying that the person that rear-ends the person in front of them is necessarily at fault, depending upon what happens in front of those other two vehicles.
So, but it was a meat grinder. Everybody was there for the same thing. And it was like, okay, pay the fine. We'll get rid of the points.
Yep.
Just like,
it was a fundraising.
Exactly. It was nothing but a fundraiser for the city of Denver.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was.
And you lost, you know, several hours of your life.
Yeah. You'll never get that time back.
Right.
I mean, I did do a ride along several years ago with a Colorado State Patrol for 8 hours. And when you do park up on the side of the hill like they do and you watch traffic, I will say at the speeds,
you can tell
most people follow pretty close. There's no way most of us could stop.
Absolutely.
I mean,
no
80,
way.
I mean, 75 and 80, and I mean, man, that's a poundage of steel traveling pretty fast.
Yeah, so I think it's 55 or 60 miles an hour. You are traveling at 88 feet per second. You have between a second and a second and a half that most of us, it takes us to respond to something that happens. So in the span in which someone slams on their brakes, you realize that you've now traveled 90 feet before applying your brakes. So at 60 miles an hour, you should probably be at least 90 feet apart. No one's 90 feet apart.
There's not enough room out there. There's
no, because cars are coming in. No. I mean, you leave a couple of car lengths and you move over. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I mean, that 18-wheeler will pull right in there. I mean,
right.
There's just no way.
Yeah, and that's where we live right now, which is too bad because we do need more space.
Oh.
And you talk to commercial drivers, the semi drivers, and they, you know, they complain about it all the time.
Right.
And I think they're rightfully so. I mean, because people don't give them any berth, and they should, because those people need a lot of space.
Yeah, I constantly see cars pull in front of them as they're trying to stop, and it's like, hey, what are you thinking?
Right.
So real quick on representing yourself. You know, another danger of this, I think, is most of us have no idea what the case could possibly be worth. We're looking at probably getting our medical bills covered, hopefully, and then adding maybe a little bit to that. So,
right.
Just understanding all the medical billing again, understanding just that negotiation process. And that's a ton of what you do.
It is. It's absolutely a ton of what I do. The other thing that people don't recognize and they don't understand is the subrogation interests that are involved too. So First of all, most people don't have the patience. They want their car accident happened a month ago. They're still treating, and they think that they should be able to get paid for treatment that they're going to do in the future, but they haven't done yet. Insurance companies almost never pay until you've completed all of your treatment. I mean, you can ask to resolve the case early, but it's going to be based upon the treatment that you've already had, and you only get to settle the case once. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people forget that. They just think that they'll sort of settle up as you go along, and that's not how it works. And so that's frustrating for people, because that's one of the things that people will say to me immediately is, you know, I've tried to have this conversation with the insurance company, and I've tried to get this case resolved, and then I start asking them about what information the insurance company has, and they haven't provided anything really to them, so they're going to get very little in the way of an offer. Right. And that's frustrating for people, because remember, the insurance company, it's an adversarial position that they're in, so they're very critical of any damages that they have to pay, and I get that. I mean, I understand why they do that, because they're trying to protect their policyholders and trying to make money, because that's how insurance companies make money, is they get your premiums and they hold those premiums for as long as possible before they pay out claims. So what people have trouble with is the process itself, because it is a frustrating process, because there's a certain percentage of the people that just throw up their hands and they say, it's not worth it, I'm not going to make a claim. And that's what the insurance companies are hoping for. I mean, because that's a claim that they'll never have to pay on, which is great for them. The ones that are more difficult are the folks that believe that they do understand the process, but they don't actually want to follow it the way the insurance companies want you to follow it to get the most recovery. Right. You know, they won't treat quickly. They won't follow through with the treatment that they need to do. They don't have the doctors saying that they need to be off of work when they were off of work. And so the insurance company says, well, nobody's saying that you can't work, so why should we pay you for being off of work? Those sorts of things. The things that they just don't know what they don't know.
Sure.
Right? So that's where we help people from the beginning. And remember, we don't get paid until we get the case resolved. So that I've got cases right now we've been working on for 2 years that, you know, I may have spent 150 hours on that we hope will get paid down the road. And the people are getting the benefit of that because they're not having to pay us now for the work. They'll get us paid later,
right?
And we get the money from the insurance company. And so it's never a bad thing. I never can figure out why people are so concerned about it.
Sure.
Because if we don't get the money, then we don't get paid.
Right. And it's a free consultation. All you have to do is call Kevin at 303-806-8886. And maybe you've chosen this path of representing yourself, and maybe we got you thinking about it a little bit. Kevin offers that free consultation to you as well, just to get that second opinion, to kind of see where you're at, see if you're on a good path. And Kevin will certainly tell you if you are, or if there are ways he can add value. And we'll talk about that before we get out today. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. It's the Legal Hour. We'll be right back.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
When people see the new, beautiful cat lodge at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they're pretty impressed. With its sleek condo spaces, stunning wall murals reflecting Colorado mountainscapes, custom-built cat trees made from real aspen and spruce, and a colorful and entertaining fish tank, we couldn't be happier to show it off. The Cat Lodge is a special place for cats of all ages and sizes to hang out when their families are away, providing much-needed peace and tranquility. Whether your special friend loves to lounge, nest, explore, or be entertained, you can rest assured that your special companion will find something that suits his or her fancy. The atmosphere is relaxing and stress-free and filled with cat-friendly activities and objects of interest. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, we understand how stressful it can be to leave a beloved pet behind when you have to be away. Call Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center with your questions about our new cat lodge and our cat boarding services. 303-708-8050 or visit LoneTreeVet.com.
I was hurt in a car accident. The bills were piling up and my insurance company was giving me the runaround. I didn't know what to do, but then I called a lawyer I saw on TV. That lawyer had all the tools and the knowledge to get me $1.2 million.
Whoa. When you're hurt in an accident, you need Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law, a lawyer that's going to take your case seriously and not treat you like some get-rich-quick scheme. Serious car accidents are traumatic and can completely disrupt your life. Kevin Flesh has the integrity to help you get your life back on track. He will fight for you to get what you deserve, but he won't treat you like a lottery ticket. After you've been in an accident, call Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law at 303-806-8886 and make sure you will get someone who will do the right thing and get your life back.
If you're looking for great deals on outdoor equipment and clothing, we've got you covered. Hi, this is Bill Paddock, owner of the Outdoorsman's Attic, your outdoor gear consignment headquarters. You'll save 20, 30, 40, even 50% on previously owned outdoor gear for the fisherman, hunter, and camper. We also sell live bait, firearms, and ammo. If you're doing a little spring cleaning, bring in your gear to the Outdoorsman's Attic. We'll sell it for you and put cash in your pocket. You can also pick up your hunting and fishing licenses right here at the store. Your one-stop shop for all your outdoor gear needs is the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hampton Avenue in Sheridan, Colorado. 303-781-3626. That's 303-781-3626. Or visit us online at outdoorsmansattic.com. Mention Sportsman's of Colorado and receive 20% off all your outdoor clothing.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. I have a little studio difficult. Headsets. I hate headsets. All right. My earbuds weren't working there. Thanks again for joining us. It's the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh. 303-806-8886 is Kevin's number. 303-806-8886. And once again, and Kevin, we haven't done this in a while. Real quick before we get into this, finishing up our topic here, kind of give an overview of your practice.
Yeah.
You know, for those that are maybe just catching us for the first time.
Absolutely. So Flesh Law, and it's going to be Flesh and Beck here soon. Bringing on a partner that's been with me for, she's been with me for about 10 years, and she's going to be a named partner here shortly. So primarily what we do is two different areas of practices. First, the criminal defense that we don't talk a whole lot about, but then secondarily we talk a lot about the personal injury practice and the litigation relating to that, and all the claims that come from either car accidents. It's really negligence of someone else, someone that's caused you injury, and taking care of those claims from demand stage through litigation through jury trials. And so we're a litigation firm. We do a lot of trial work, both on the criminal defense side and the personal injury side.
Right. And I think that's something that you got to check out, especially in the, from the car accident side. Are you looking at a firm that if it needs to go to trial, that they, one, are willing to do that, and they know what they're doing in that arena?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important a lot of times for people that are looking and interviewing firms, because I think that's really important. You want to, first of all, make sure that you actually are talking to the lawyer that's going to be handling the case, that's going to be in the courtroom with you if you have to go to a trial, and make sure that you're comfortable with their abilities and how you feel they are. Because there's a real trusting relationship that you have to go through with regard to that. And so you want to make sure that that person is who you believe they to be and that they're competent in doing their job with regard to trial work. Because if the folks aren't very good about explaining what the process is like and gives you a good sense about what they do, that's where you have to be concerned. Because there are lots of people out there that say they do personal injury work, for instance, and they haven't seen the inside of a courtroom for multiple years. And
right. And
to keep that sort of skill set fresh, you've got to be doing trials.
Yep.
And you've got to be doing them pretty often.
You know, Dan, we were talking about this and the other day with Kevin. It came up from a caller asking about Lyft, Uber, all the different things like that. If you're in an accident with one of those drivers, you do some driving,
A little bit.
Like that. Okay, yeah. What are some of the guidelines for people, you know, in your car when you're driving for, you know, Lyft,
well,
Uber?
What do you mean by guidelines?
No, for insurance things. So if you got four people in there and you get an accident, I mean, is it?
My insurance company is American Family.
Okay.
And through American Family, there's actually a rideshare rider.
Yes.
So that means I'm covered through my insurance first, and then there's an umbrella policy over all of that provided by both Lyft and Uber. So first, your personal insurance kicks in as the driver. So whatever happens, your insurance kicks in. Then the Uber and Lyft, if it's anything above that, the Uber and Lyft insurance kicks in after that.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the ways that they minimize the cost for their companies, is that the individual drivers are taking on that responsibility of making sure they have insurance.
Yeah, and it's really no different than any other commercial operator out there. You know, everybody's got their own insurance. And then, you know, over that, it's right. Really nice that Lyft and Uber provide that, because really my rider is only like $10 a month or something like that. So it's really inexpensive to have that added on.
Yeah.
And that's sort of evolved over the last few years, because when those companies were just coming on the scene, I don't think those riders were available. And so then there was always question about why exactly, what was the purpose of your driving?
Correct. And the insurance companies really didn't know what to do with you at that point. Yep. And there are still some out there that simply will not insure you if you're a Lyft or Uber driver.
Right.
Wow. Which brings us to a good point, knowing your insurance policy. And again, had someone refer to you, the gentleman was involved in an accident that was not his fault. The at-fault party had a $25,000 policy limit, which I don't understand why that's our minimum in the state, because that's crazy.
I don't either. I mean, it's you get into an accident where you get an ambulance ride and you go to the ER and you've lost consciousness for part of the time. Anytime that an airbag goes off, you're normally going to lose a little consciousness. And so they're going to do a battery of tests. You're going to have a $12,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 ER bill. That $25,000 policy is gone.
Right.
And so I would agree with you that the limits relating to the minimum limits for the state need to be increased. And that's why you need to have the underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage on your own individual policy.
And I think it's pretty standard, you know, and I think this is where a lot of agents, are at fault, really. They do these standard things, 100,000, 300,000 deals for different, that's just kind of their MO to
right.
do that. And, I mean, I told you, we increased ours to $1 million. And it was like $60 every 6 months to get $1 million.
Right. And what really happens with folks is what I see happen is the people get their policies and they don't talk to a human being. They don't talk to an agent. It's just they go online and they just sort of check some boxes to get the cheapest policy. And they don't actually know what coverages they're getting or not getting. And they don't understand it because they're not talking to someone who's a professional in the area, similar to a pro se litigation. And they don't get what they really need. And so when they have an accident, then they aren't covered. And they're like, well, why am I not covered? I thought I had, because everybody comes into my office, almost everybody.
I
got full coverage. But nobody really knows what that means.
Right.
And the full coverage is different for every company. But that's the conversation you have to have with an insurance agent, someone who can help you through the process, and then give you pricing. Mm-hmm. And then we've talked about this. You know, I would advocate going to an agent that's an independent agent that has several lines of insurance so they can price different policies and see which one makes sense. Because every insurance company annually goes through and kind of looks at its loss ratios and then does its pricing for the next year, and that pricing changes all the time.
Now, you've talked about before, and you've used the term of stacking policies.
Right.
Explain that term and then how we should maybe look at our policies where we have that ability.
Yeah, so stacking really works well if you have multiple cars. And this is, again, another conversation that you have with your insurance agent with regard to underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage in particular. So I think most policies, the maximum that you can have for underinsured or uninsured motorist coverage in Colorado is $250,000 for each policy. Unless you get an umbrella, and then the umbrella could be more than that, depending upon whether the insurance company offers UM/UIM coverage with an umbrella.
Right.
So the idea with stacking is that you get multiple policies then that have that maximum capacity, and they actually are not just one continuous policy, but they're separate policies. So you get into an accident, I get into an accident, horrific accident. You have major major injuries, and the at-fault party maybe has $100,000 in coverage, but your medical bills are $500,000. You're going to get that $100,000 in, you know, from the at-fault party right away, and then you're going to start working on your underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage. If you have one policy for all of your vehicles for, let's say, the $250,000, then your maximum that you can receive relating to your own policy would be $250,000. But if you have three cars and you have three different policies with three different underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage limits, those limits then stack. So you then have $750,000 rather than just the $250,000. I know it seems like, well, how often is that going to happen?
Right.
But if you're in a significant injury case, it happens to us all the time. And if people have separate vehicles, then it's great.
Sure.
Or if you've worked it out with your insurance agent that you're able to get some other coverages through an umbrella or something else that will give you more than just the $250,000, then that's what you need to do. Right. And I advocate to that people all the time.
Exactly.
Because you just don't know, right? I mean, you're driving, you're a passenger in a Lyft car. I'm not sure what their umbrella is. It may be $1 million for Uber and Lyft now, but early on, they didn't have much for policies, and I've got a case right now of significant injury as a passenger, and we're looking at as many policies as possible.
Right.
Yeah.
If you need any insurance help, by the way, GIA, Group Insurance Analysts, there are folks you can trust and can help you with that. They are local. They are brokers, and they will take great care of you. Their number is 303-423-0162. This is the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh. We got to take our last break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Don't fall for gimmick ads when choosing your insurance coverage. Group Insurance Analyst has been Colorado's insurance superstore since 1984, where customers can compare and shop for all of their insurance needs. At GIA Insurance, their brokers have no allegiance to any particular health, auto, or home insurance company. Take advantage of their experience, expertise, and exceptional client service. For your free quote, call today at 303-423-0162. That's 303-423-0162. Visit their website, e-gia.com, or stop by their office at 44th and Garrison Street in Wheat Ridge. Group Insurance Analyst is an official Haystack Help registered company.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Let me tell you what I love about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. At Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention. For over 50 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. Stack Optical also has a beautiful new location at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. Free and easy up-close parking. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack Optical has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Your eyes and vision are one of the most important things in life. I'm confident at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference. That's 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com.
If you have questions about inheritance or beneficiaries and how it affects your retirement planning, Dot Mechtenberg can help you. Discuss your legacy wishes with Dot. She can help guide you through these crucial issues. Call Dot Mechtenberg today at 303-940-7807. That's 303-940-7807. Or visit DotMechtenberg.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Watley. Dan Muir's in with us from Rush to Reason. Dan, what's coming up on Rush to Reason?
Hey, we've got our legislative update with Republican leader or minority leader at the State House, Patrick Neville. We're going to find out what's going on down at the state capitol, and we're going to see if they're still trying to pick your pockets down there.
Yes.
Which they always do.
Kevin Flesh is with us. It's the Legal Hour, and Kevin is with us every other Thursday. And again, we'll always take on your legal questions if you've got one, 303-477-5600. And as Kevin mentioned earlier, his firm handles a lot of different areas, and highly, highly recommend Kevin, again, just for that consultation. If it goes anywhere, of course, that's up to both you and him. But just to get that extra advice, to get you thinking about some things maybe you wouldn't normally think of. Kevin, one thing that came up about this deal, going back to representing yourself, that I was reading up on, and it talked about this phrase of this: do you know that disputed liability is something that happens all the time in car accident claims?
Yes.
So disputed liability, what are we talking about?
Yeah, so that's a term of art, basically, that the defense is saying, listen, it wasn't our fault. It wasn't our insured's fault that the accident happened. And in Colorado, there's a legal theory called contributory negligence or comparative negligence. They're sort of the same term. And the idea is that a jury... Some people believe that when you go to trial relating to a car accident case, you're only having to decide whether or not the other person is at fault or whether you're at fault. I mean, they think that that's where it ends. But it really doesn't. What happens is the jury gets to put on percentages, and it's like a pie as 100%, and they get to cut pieces of that pie out and say, you, the plaintiff, are at fault for part of your damages, and the defendant is part... responsible for your damages. And if you get equal fault, the plaintiff loses because they're equally at fault with the defendant. What happens sometimes is you get multiple parties, like these multiple car accidents situations, and the jury then has to figure out who's at fault for the whole thing, for the injuries relating to the plaintiff. And it gets really complicated. And that's where people have a hard time understanding. It's not just a jury saying, well, you're at fault versus the other person. They also get to divvy up that fault. And that's a hard concept. So from dollar one that they may give you for damages, let's say they give you $100 in damages, but then they find the plaintiff, who's bringing the case, 25% at fault. Well, they've just reduced that $100 by 25%, and so you've really got a judgment for $75.
Right.
That's a hard process to have someone understand if they're trying to do it themselves in particular. And insurance companies do it all the time. They do it to me. They'll say, well, we think your client is 20% at fault, so we're going to give your client this total damages, but we're going to reduce it by 20%. That's a technique that they used with me on a regular basis, and then I'm fighting about percentages. And finally, if I can't get them to give us full value, we file suit, and we get to another claim rep that's not messing around with that sort of thing. But it happens all the time. And what is difficult is when you have multiple parties that could somehow have contributed to the injuries of the plaintiff, it makes it much more complicated.
Mm-hmm. Go to the timing real quick of everything again.
Sure.
Like
statute of limitations timing?
Okay. And the importance of, seeking medical attention quickly and getting with you quickly.
Yeah.
Just to talk before you start having conversations with the insurance company.
Yeah, it's really important for people that have even not significant injuries, just things that you think are... sometimes people get into these accidents and they'll feel bad the second or third day, and they'll be like, well, I don't know if I should go to the doctor or not. And they wait a week or they wait 2 weeks. The longer you wait, the more time it gives the defendant and their insurance company to say, well, maybe there was something that happened in that intervening time period that caused you injury, and it wasn't the car accident. Because their rationale is that, well, if you're really hurt, you'd immediately go to the doctor. And that's not always the case. We're busy with other things, or we think... as we're younger men, we think, oh, it'll get better. It'll just, you wipe a little dirt on it and it'll get better over time. And so you don't take your best interests at heart. And so those are the things that I always tell people to do, is go in immediately and get seen by a doctor. Even if you don't feel like you need to, do it just so that you have it documented, mm-hmm. because that'll help you down the road, because you'll be able to, especially where police aren't, let's say you don't call the police and you don't have a police report done. Because the insurance company a lot of times will say, well, if you were hurt, why didn't you go immediately to the doctor? Why didn't you call the police? Why didn't you document it some other way? And if you've done none of those things, it gives them lots of opportunities to make the argument that you're making it up.
Right.
And that there really weren't any problems. So get in, get those things taken care of right away. And then right after the accident, the insurance company generally wants you to give a recorded statement. And in that recorded statement, you can say things that are truthful but hurt your case in the sense of either timing or how you're feeling. Most people don't want to act like they were really hurt. They want to be positive about it, and those sorts of positive statements will cause you to be cross-examined later, like, well, you really weren't that badly hurt. That's what you said in your recorded statement right away. Yeah. But now
I'm
you're saying
better every day.
Right,
or
exactly.
Feeling a little better.
Yeah, all of those sorts of statements that you would normally say in conversation that, that lawyers on the defense will twist
right.
later on. And so those are the sorts of things that we can help people with to make sure they understand. And we're gatekeepers for information. Many times these insurance reps will ask you for things that you don't have to give them. Mm-hmm. And people have a hard time saying no. And so they'll provide information that you really don't need to.
And we have to remember, we're not legally bound to talk to them with any, probably at all.
At all.
Any time frame. So just go, hey, look, I'm not feeling well. I need to call you back at another time.
That's exactly right. Whatever.
And I've heard stories, too, that insurance companies go on your social media accounts and see what you're really doing.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I tell people that immediately. You immediately stop with the social media, especially any activities that make you look like you're not hurt when you are. Because they'll use that, and they'll go back and they'll squirrel through all that stuff and find things that, you know, don't seem to be a big deal at the time, but then they bring it up later, and they may ask you about something to sort of get you into a situation where it looks like you're making up things.
Right.
You're not being honest.
Real quick, just about a minute and a half here, but another thing about representing yourself. I'm probably not going to have much luck if I want to get treated at a doctor, getting them to do a possible lien.
Right.
Or something with just me tell them, oh, I'll pay you when I get settled.
Right.
Where if I've got a law firm that's with me, you have those the ability to do that a lot of times that we don't have to pay out of pocket.
Right. Yeah, not only do we have the ability to, but we also ethically have the obligation to keep those funds for that doctor and the client. So what it's a little uncomfortable for the lawyer, but what the idea is with these lien agreements with these medical providers is that you're going to get treatment. They're going to, just like I'm waiting to get paid when I get the case resolved, there are some medical doctors out there that will also wait. And they have you sign a lien agreement whereby you get paid, they get paid when you get paid. The idea is it turns into a triangle, right? Because the medical doctor's on one side, the client's on the other, and then I'm on the third wheel or the third leg of this triangle. Ethically, when I get that money in, my client, I have an obligation to the client. But as long as I've signed that lien agreement, I also have an obligation to the treating provider to make sure that they get taken care of and that we work out an agreement between the three of us regarding how that's going to get taken care of. Mm-hmm. Medical providers won't have a person sign those liens without having a lawyer because a person could violate that contract, and they really don't have a whole lot of argument. They can sue them, but if the person's spent the money, it's going to be difficult for them to get it back. But they know my license is at stake if I don't work something out, and I haven't taken care of that with them. So they're more comfortable with lawyers like myself entering into those agreements and then taking care of them.
Right.
And I like it because I also have a conversation early on with the client about the fact that generally the treating providers that are doing these sorts of liens also understand the legal aspect of it, and so they give me good reports.
Sure.
They provide good documentation that I can show the insurance companies.
Well, I'm telling you, folks, there's no reason not to have the protection from insurance, from the legal side. When we've got folks like GIA, group insurance analysts, make sure your insurance needs are met in full and you've got the right coverages there. And then when you've got Kevin right there, Dan, that's the way you want to be.
Absolutely.
No right insurance, right attorney, and you're good to go. Because, Kevin, you said real quick, and I know I got to get out of here, but 25% of people probably don't have insurance.
Yeah.
Another 25%.
Don't have enough.
Don't have enough. So your odds are not real good of being protected anywhere else.
Not in Colorado. That's the biggest thing that I can say every time we have this conversation is look at your policy, see how much underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage you have, and get as much as you can afford.
303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, fleshlawfirm.com. That's FLESCH, lawfirm.com. Thanks for joining us today. Kevin, thank you very much. Mr. Muir, thank you as well.
Thank you. It's fun.
And Cassie's running our Facebook Live. Thanks to Cassie and Charlie behind the glass. Hope everyone has a great day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.